It's so good to see the Robinsons here all the way from Florida way. You spend a few weeks with us again. Always good to see you guys. Such a pleasure and a privilege. Good to see you. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm glad to see you, and you're sitting by me. Praise the Lord. God is so good, isn't he? Brother Aaron, come right ahead. I asked Brother Aaron quite some time ago to preach, and I appreciate these young men. I mentioned, I think, a week or so ago that I want to invest in our young preachers. I received a statistic that 10 preachers start pastoring the first 5 years, five of them are gone. And I want to invest in them, and we need to get behind them and pray for them. God may lead them to open up a church somewhere someday, and we need to encourage and strengthen them and bless them in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Amen. Preach to us, brother. Thank you, Pastor.
Amen. I'm glad to be in God's house. Amen. I'm glad that my God is faithful. Amen. His record is impeccable. He's undefeated. Amen. If you look at the Major League Baseball standings right now, and the team in first place has several wins, but they have a few losses. My God's never been defeated. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles tonight, turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. So glad to be in God's house. Been on vacation last week, and then the week before that, we were flooded out. And so glad it's a little bit drier. It's been raining every day, but not like the flood we had a couple weeks ago. So good to be in God's house on a Sunday night. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12, one verse tonight I want to read to you. And I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. It says this, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, that we're in your house tonight, Lord, on your day. Lord, thank you, Father, for this service, Lord. Thank you for the worship, Lord, for the musicians, Lord. I pray right now, God, over these next few moments that you'll have your way. Lord, help me to get out of the way, Lord. We pray for your anointing. We know it's the anointing that breaks the yoke, Lord. Pray that you would touch my lips, Lord. Help me to preach your word, nothing more, nothing less. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Have a simple message tonight. Don't give up. Don't give up. Do you remember when you were a kid and you liked to play games? How many like to play games when you were a kid? How many still like to play games as adults? Some of you do. I've been at a game night or two here at the church, and it can get kind of competitive. Ask Cody and Delisha. We played a few games last night, and we thought we was going to have some marriage counseling for them. No, just teasing. We're all competitive, but we like to play games, and that's okay. When you were a kid, maybe you played tag. Maybe hide and go seek. I remember as a kid growing up in church and my dad coming to church. I remember even my dad would come and preach for Pastor Mike and playing tag with Chris and Brian as kids. And as soon as church let out, we were outside playing in the yard or in the parking lot playing tag. And maybe you like to play hide and go seek, or maybe you like to play some type of ball, baseball or football. But in all of these games that you played, somewhere along the line you heard the words, winners never, quitters, hang on one second. Nobody loves a quitter. I got all tongue-tied there. Nobody loves a quitter. You heard that somewhere along the time when you were playing a game. Maybe it was your mother told you that. Maybe it was your father. But somewhere along the line, somebody said, nobody loves a quitter. But somehow our culture, we have forgotten that saying. And it doesn't bother us anymore as we become adults. Because everywhere we go, it's easy to quit something, right? It's easy to give up. Marriages, we see every day, marriages, people give up. First sign of trouble and they're out. And they quit. Or kids, fathers and mothers every day are walking out on their own kids. Or careers, or exercise, whatever it may be. As adults, we forget that. And sometimes it's easy to become a quitter and quit or give up. And those are examples of giving up. And I didn't come tonight to bash that. But what I came tonight is just encourage with the help of the Lord. There's one area in our life that we cannot afford to give up or quit, and that's our faith, our walk with Jesus Christ. Amen? We can't afford to give up. Or we can't afford to, as Brother Hewitt preached here a while back, throw in the towel. Church, we have to continue on the course. Amen? We have come too far to give up now. Yet, as we look around us every day, we see more and more believers giving up. friends that were on fire and in ministry suddenly quit and fall out. Sadly, it's more common than we realize. We see this everywhere in church. People that we thought, man, these people are in ministry and there's no way, nothing. I mean, we've looked up to them and suddenly they have fallen and they've quit and given up. Church, now's not the time to do that. Now's not the time to give up. But again, I didn't come to bash people or lift to bash people for quitting. But what I came tonight is to lift you up, hopefully, with the help of the Lord. Don't give up. Now's not the time to drop out of the race. Chapter 11 of Hebrews is, I'm going to preach on that in just a second. Let me go back here just a second. No matter what you're going through, no matter how bad the storm is raging, keep your head up and continue to run this race. Amen. Church, no matter what you're facing, no matter how difficult it gets, your faith is not worth getting out of the race and losing in your faith. Amen. No matter what the situation is. Why? Because on the other side of the finish line, it's worth it. You see, church, we're running this race for a reason. We're headed for a destination. When we get across that finish line, we're headed for glory. Amen. We're going to step into eternity and be with Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. We're going to spend all of eternity with Him. We have a place where we're headed, so we need to continue to finish this race. Amen. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says this, "But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him." That's why we run the race, church. We have a home beyond the clouds, amen? We're headed for a place called Beulah Land, that when we get there, I don't know, I have seen nor ear have heard. If we could only imagine, we can read the Scriptures, but we don't understand what's prepared for us, amen? That's where we're headed, but yet the journey gets tough at times. But heaven is so worth staying in the race and not giving up. Major League Baseball has a Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, New York. And man, I'd love to go there, Pastor, one of these days. If the Lord tarries is coming, that would be a bucket list. But in the Hall of Fame in baseball, if you've had a great career and you've had set records or made certain statistics, they'll elect you into the Hall of Fame. And you head in there in usually end of July. But church, tonight in chapter 11 of Hebrews, there's a Hall of Fame of faith. If you read through that from the very beginning verse all the way to the last verse, it talks about men and women who were Hall of Famers, who were faith Hall of Famers, and who faced their adversities and overcame them. There were some of the superstars that we know of. Abraham, he could be labeled a superstar, right? We know who he is. He's a great man of God. Or Moses and Jacob and David, all these are superstars. But then there were some that are no-namers, kind of like we're, I feel like I fill in, or maybe you fit in, that we're not superstars, but we're kind of the no-namers. But read with me tonight in verse 35 of chapter 11. I'm going to read a few verses here to find my place here. Verse 35 says, "Women received their loved ones back again from death, but others were tortured, refusing to turn from God in order to be set free. They placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection." We have a better life coming, amen? This is not our home. This world is not our home. Verse 36, "Some were jeered at, and their backs were cut open with whips. Others were chained in prisons. Some died by stoning. Some were sawed in half." How many wants to die that way? Nobody, right? "Others were killed with the sword. Some went about wearing skins of sheep and goats, destitute and oppressed and mistreated." Verse 38, "They were too good for this world, wandering over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. All these people earned a good reputation because of their faith, yet none of them received all that God had promised. For God had something better in mind for us, so that they would not reach perfection without us." Church, what Paul, the writer of Hebrews, which most scholars think it was Paul, what he was saying, there were some all-stars, there were some superstars, but then there's these no-namers, that their name's not even mentioned. And they didn't even make it out of this world alive. But they were cut down, they were tortured. But yet they're in this book, in this chapter, because of their faith and that they stood strong and they finished the race. They didn't give up, even though they were tortured, Pastor. Even though they were cut in half, or and they were wandering around. They didn't have a home. All of us tonight here have a home, amen? We're going to go to here in a little bit and hopefully relax and keep our head out of the rain. But these people didn't even have homes, and yet they are mentioned here. They're not mentioned by name, but they're in the Hall of Fame of faith because of they continued to fight the fight, amen? They were tortured, they were whipped, they wandered around, but they keep the faith, and they didn't give up. Tonight, church, I just come to encourage you, don't give up. Don't give up no matter what it looks like, no matter what the outcome or what the doctor says. Brother Heston was talking about his grandpa. The doctors for sure said that they were, here's the chances, but we serve a God that knows more than they do. Amen. He created the body and knows exactly what takes place. Don't give up tonight, church. Sister Lindsay, you got this video ready? This is about 5 minutes, so just watch. This is one of my most favorite movie videos, clips. Watch this for just a second, okay?
So, Coach, how strong is Westview this year?
A lot stronger than we are.
You already written Friday night down as a loss, Brock?
Well, not if I know we could beat them.
Come here, Brock. You too, Jeremy.
What, am I in trouble now?
Not yet. I want to see you do the death crawl again, except I want to see your absolute best.
What, you want me to go to the 30?
I think you can go to the 50.
The 50? I can go to the 50 if nobody's on my back.
I think you can do it with Jeremy on your back. But even if you can, I want you to promise me you're going to do your best.
All right.
Your best.
Okay.
You going to give me your best?
I'm going to give you my best.
All right, one more thing. I want you to do it blindfolded.
Why?
Because I don't want you giving up at a certain point when you can go further. Get down. Jeremy, get on his back. Now get a good tight hold, Jeremy. All right. Let's go, Brock. Keep your knees off the ground. Just your hands and feet. There you go. A little bit left. A little bit left.
I bet he does.
There you go. Show me good effort. That way, Brock. You keep coming. There you go. It's a good start. A little bit left. A little bit left. There you go, Brock. Good strength. That's it, Brock. That's it.
Am I at the 20 yet?
Forget the 20. You give me your best. You keep going. That's it. No, don't stop, Brock. You got more in you than that.
I ain't done. Just rest in a second.
You gotta keep moving. Let's keep moving. Let's go. Don't quit till you got nothing left. There you go. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Your very best. Your very best. Your very best. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. Don't quit on me. Keep going. Keep driving it. Keep your knees off the ground. That's it. Your very best. Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Don't quit till you got nothing left. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. I want everything you got. Come on. Keep going.
It hurts.
Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go.
He's heavy.
I know he's heavy.
I'm about out of strength.
Then you negotiate with your body to find more strength. But don't you give up on me, Brock. You keep going. You hear me? You keep going. You're doing good. You keep going. Do not quit on me. You keep going.
It hurts.
I know it hurts. You keep going. You keep going. It's all hard from here. 30 more steps. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Keep going.
Burn.
And let it burn.
My arms are burning.
It's all hard. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Come on. Keep going. You promise me your best. Your best. Zone.
are the most influential player on this team. If you walk around defeated, so will they. Don't tell me you can't give me more than what I've been seeing. You just carried a 140-pound man across this whole field on your arms. Brock, I need you. God's gifted you with the ability of leadership. Don't waste it.
Coach?
Can I count on you?
Yes.
Coach?
What is it, Jeremy?
I weigh 160.
Give up, church. No matter what the circumstance is, that clip doesn't make you want to go play football or do something, not give up. I don't know what will, but tonight, church, that coach was there encouraging him to not to quit. You know what he did? He did a 100 length of football death crawl with somebody on his back. Most of us could only do 5 yards. He didn't even think he could do 25 yards, but his coach was there motivating. Why, when the player on his back was heavy and he was getting tired, he was telling him, don't quit. Church, we have tonight, the Bible says in chapter 12, verse 1, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witness to the life of faith. Who are the witnesses tonight? They're the ones mentioned in chapter 11 in the Faith Hall of Fame. Those are the ones around us like that coach. They're saying, don't quit. Don't give up. Don't give in. We also have a mediator, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who's standing right beside us saying, don't give up. Just like that coach was saying, don't quit. I know it hurts. Just like that player on his back had to hurt, and he had to be wanting to turn to give in. And life hurts sometimes, and pressures of life, and we want to just throw in the towel. We want to say, we're done. We're through. But Jesus is coming along. The Holy Spirit's coming along saying this, don't quit. Don't give in. Continue to fight the fight. Amen. There's one, our loved ones have gone on before us, men and women of Christian faith that have gone on before us, and we're surrounded by such a great witness that make up a cloud of witness that tell us we can do it, we can push through, we can make it. Amen? Because that's our goal, is to make the finish line tonight, church. We don't want to quit. We've come too far. We've climbed over too many mountains and too many valleys not to give up, amen, to give up and to turn around. We've crossed too many creeks. There's a song, and I can't remember all the words, but we've passed too many sunsets, too many miles behind us to give up now. Amen, church? Most of all, we have, I talked about him just now, we have an advocate, Jesus. And just like Coach Taylor in that movie clip, he's right there beside us telling us, come on. While the enemy's whispering to us to give in and quit, the Lord's saying, you got this. You can do it. He's speaking to us, keep running. Keep pushing forward. Keep fighting. Don't quit. Keep your eyes on me is what Jesus is saying. Take your eyes off the world. Keep your eyes on me and you can do it. Amen. He went all the way to the cross. He's the best witness we have and he's our biggest fan. Amen. You know, as children, when we have children, we're their biggest fan, right? When they're in Little League and sports gymnastics, whatever it may be, cheerleading. As parents, we're their biggest fan. We're right there. When they hit that ball, man, we're cheering them on. That's our son or daughter and we're proud of them tonight. But church, so is Jesus. You're His children tonight. We're His children. And He is proud of you. And no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, He is right there saying, you've got this. You can make it. This trial, you can make it through it. You don't have to give up. But keep your eyes on me and you can make it. Don't give up tonight, church. Don't give up. Jesus is no different. He's speaking to you tonight. Don't give up. I know it's hard. I know it hurts. But you can do this. Amen. He went to the cross and he faced the most brutal execution there was. And yet he continued on. So he knows what he's talking about when he tells you don't give up. And this trial that you may be going through, this storm may be raging, and it may be the worst thing that you've ever faced in your life. But Jesus is telling you, the Holy Spirit is telling you, don't give up. Continue to fight the faith. Continue to the finish line. It's so worth it tonight, church. And I know it's painful. Since I turned 40, I started working out a little bit before 40, but I started working out As I was getting nearing 40 years old, I started not feeling as good as I did in my 20s. I guess that happens, right, as we get older. But I started working out. And one of the things I started doing, I like working out and lifting weights, but I hate running. I had somebody, I think it was even Brother Chris, told me that once you get past a certain time of running that you'll enjoy it. I haven't reached that yet. I run 3 times a week, some, and then I alternate another week and only run twice a week and every day. Tomorrow's Monday is my day to run, and I hate it. I hate every bit of it. But after I get done, I'm glad I did it. And heart disease runs in my family, so I'm glad that I'm doing something. But I don't like running, but I know what it does for my body. And when I do, I go over to the Walmart Fitness Center, and I run 15 laps. 10 laps is a mile. And so when I'm about 8th lap, my body hurts and my ankles hurt and I'm tired and I'm about ready to give up and just say, you know what, I'm just going to go back and get my Jeep and go park it under a tree and sleep the rest of my lunch break. But I continue to push and I push, and when I get around that 14th lap and I start seeing, I know that I'm almost done and I'm finished. And when I get done and head back to the locker room, I feel better and I know that I didn't quit. In church, that's a simple little analogy, but that's the way our walk is with the Lord, our faith. Sometimes it gets hard, and we're like, what are we even doing here? It'd be easy just to give up because other people beside us are giving up and walking away. It'd be easy just to not come to church tonight and go do what we want to do, go to the ball game, go to the lake. It'd be easy to do that, especially when trials come in and loved ones are sick and finances are rough. The storms of life hit. It'd be easy. But church, if we push through that pain and that hurt and keep our eyes upon the Lord, it's going to be worth it when we round that final bend. Amen? And we reach the finish line. Job was a man that had it all in closing. He was wealthy. He had a great marriage. He had lots of kids. Had more kids than I did. But then one day, it seemed like he had everything together. Then one day, the storm started rolling in. And one by one, he lost everything. He lost his wealth. He lost his kids. He almost lost his wife. She basically told him to give up, to curse God. That's what she said. She said, curse God and die. And basically, that's give up. He didn't lose his life, but he lost everything. But if we read in Job, even though all these moments, and you read, and I'm actually reading Job right now, and in all of this, the whole book, he's just talking to God, and then his friends begin to try to figure out what's wrong with him. Friends do that, don't they? They should be along beside him. His four friends that ended up being should have just sat there and been there with him, but they thought they had to diagnose him and figure out what was going on, and they began to say, you must have sinned, you must have did this. But throughout the book, there were times when he was hurting and crying out to God, and it seemed like a few times in the chapters that he's fixing to just give it up. And man, if anybody could had an excuse, Job could have. Amen. We could have looked back at Brother Job and said, "We understand." I mean, how many of you could have faced that? I don't know if I could have faced. I'd have been done losing my family, my kids. That would have sent me. I hope my faith would have been strong, but losing one, losing all of them, and then I mean. He had boils on his physical body, was sick. We couldn't have faced that, I don't think. But not one time did he curse God. But he ended up, the Bible says at the end, that he was blessed double because he kept his eyes on the Lord. So tonight, church, as you stand with me, don't give up. You've come too far now to not turn around. The finish line is getting closer and closer by the second. If it doesn't come by the rapture, another 50 years, most of us will go by the grave, or 60 years. That's not trying to be morbid, but that's what happens, amen? So whether we go the rapture or the grave, it's getting closer to the finish line. That's not a bad thing. Keep on fighting. Don't listen to the lies of the devil. Don't listen to Satan when he tells you to give up. It's not worth it. Church, it's worth it. We have a mansion over yonder that's worth it, amen? Most important, you know what? I don't care about a mansion. I know that sounds sacrilegious, but I don't care about my home as long as it's with Jesus. That's who I care about. I want to be homeless in heaven. as long as I'm with Jesus. I don't care about the gold. I mean, they use gold for pavement in heaven. It's not that big of a deal. But I want to see Jesus. That's who I want to be with. Keep fighting. Don't listen to the enemy when he tells you to give up or you can't make it. Don't listen to his lies. Instead, listen to the Holy Spirit. Keep your eyes upon the Lord and continue to fight the good faith. Amen. Keep your eyes, as Paul said in Philippians 3:14. He said, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, has called. In other words, keep your eyes on the prize. That prize is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Then we'll get other things, but the most important thing is Him tonight, church. Don't give up. Don't give up. I wonder if you could bow your heads with me. Father, we come before you tonight. Thank you, Lord, for this night. Thank you, Father, for your presence in this place tonight, Lord, in your sanctuary. Lord, I thank you tonight, Lord. I pray over these next couple moments, Lord, that you would have your way. Lord, that you would lead and guide and direct. In Jesus' name we pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder tonight if you're here. And maybe you're facing a storm. Maybe you're facing a trial. Maybe you're to the point where you're ready to give up and say, that's it. It's not worth it. I just wanted to come by tonight with the help of the Lord and encourage you and say, don't give up. Don't give in, but continue to fight the fight. Is that you here tonight? Maybe you're facing a tough battle, a trial. I don't know what it is. I can't read minds. But I do feel like the Lord spoke this message to you, to me, to encourage you tonight. Somebody here is struggling and going through something. And if that's you tonight, just simply slip out of your seat and make your way down to this altar. And there will be believers here praying for you and encouraging you. Is that you tonight? Maybe you're going through something. You don't know what it is or why it's come about, but the Lord knows. Don't give up tonight, church. Whatever you're facing, don't listen to the lies of the enemy. Are you here tonight? And the enemy has pounded upon you time and time again and said, give up. Tonight, church, don't give up. Don't give up. Are you here tonight? Just simply step out of your seat and make your way to this altar. Anybody here tonight going through a storm, facing a battle?
Look around.